thought for today. Once I decide who I am, it takes only a second to be it. Once I decide who I am, it takes only a second to be it. Now, that's an interesting statement. Once I decide who I am, now, for instance, I decide I am a man. How long does it take for me to be it? I am an angel. What do I think an angel is? Then I be it. I'm a gardener. What do I conceive of a gardener to be? I am an editor. What do I conceive of an editor to be? Well, today, an editor can be an editor in many, many ways. Film editor, newspaper editor, magazine editor, story editor, editor on the television, editor on the radio, editor of books, you know, editing books and things like that. You could just go on to many, many possibilities. And until I decide what kind of editor, editorial job open, so I go and apply. Well, the editor's job is you must know all about building construction, because you're going to be the editor of a building construction magazine. And I say, now, does that mean I have to know about building construction, or does that mean I have to know about words? Am I going to edit words, or am I going to edit ideas? See, those are two possibilities, and maybe they're both the same. Maybe in the building magazine, I must edit the ideas that the people write in about building and techniques of buildings and techniques of doing things. I have to really be up on all that stuff if I'm going to have to edit that. But if I'm merely editing their words to make sure that they read well and they read correctly, that's another story. That's another story. Now, we had the Science of Mind magazine, and in the Science of Mind magazine, we received articles from outstanding writers from all over the country. And we would edit their articles just tiny, tiny little bit, just to make sure that it flowed with the philosophy of our magazine. Now, Gertie Dooley was the associate editor, assistant editor, and she had been for 25 years, and remarkable lady. She did her very utmost to make sure that the attitude of the Science of Mind was reflected in the writing. And she's a very good editor, very excellent. Willis Kinnear was the editor, and I was the associate editor. Well, Willis decided what articles we were going to run, and these articles were already decided based upon the philosophy of the Science of Mind. And Gertie merely made sure that the articles were perfectly edited and perfectly prepared with the approval of the writer themselves. Well, years went by. I left the magazine. Willis Kinnear left the magazine. Gertie Dooley left the magazine. Now a whole new entourage of people have come in there and have taken over the organization. Now, these people take Ernest Holmes at his essence. And Ernest Holmes says, the philosophy of the Science of Mind is open at the top. There's always room for more understanding, more wisdom, more genius to be expressed. And that was fine. So now the new editors of the magazine have a different point of view. The new editors of the magazine say, it's open at the top. So let's get the new avant-garde activity that's going on in the world. Let's get the new thought, the new essence of the new thinkers, and see how we can run that in the magazine. And that's what they're doing. They're taking all these writers who are writing outstanding things. And Ernest Holmes wanted the latest in science, the latest in thinking, the latest in wisdom. Well, now the editors of the Science Mind magazine are interested in big names. They're interested in important people. It doesn't matter whether they can write or not. The Science Mind writers will write the articles so they sound good. But they want the big names in there so that it'll be a drawing card for people to take the magazine. Okay. Well, in the process, the magazine has a tendency to move away from its purpose. And the purpose of the magazine is to be the Science of Mind, to be the Church of Religious Science spokes effort to let the people know what Science of Mind thinks. But it has gotten to be a celebrity magazine more than anything else, like a magazine I used to have in Newport Beach called The Newporter. And we had hundreds of actors and actresses and Hollywood people living there in Newport Beach, and I would be covering them in their homes and in their activities and their parties and on their boats and so forth for our magazine. And I would write stories about them and take pictures of them and put it in the magazine. Well, nobody thought of the Newporter magazine as much more than just a posh magazine that was talking about the important or the noteworthy people who lived in Newport Beach. And it had no essence to it. It had no no significance to it. It had no purpose other than just to be a little showcase for the beautiful people who live there. Now, it was easy for me to be a part of that magazine. Once I decided what my role was, then I could do it very easily. And then in my community newspapers, I was the editor of the newspaper, and I'd go to the community and I'd talk to the people and I'd find out what their interests were, what they wanted to have done in the city, what they wanted to have done, and I'd write about it in the newspaper, and I was sort of the voice of the people, which is a very admirable thing for a newspaper to be. Then on other newspapers I had, the communities were so bad in their in the way they handled the community, that I decided I did not want to write about that. So I called it the Love Sheet. And I wrote about all the good things that took place in town, all of the beauty queen pageants, all of the school activities, all the things that were uplifting and upraising. And pretty soon, because I had chosen to be the love for the community, pretty soon the community began to reflect that. That began to be reflected in the city government in Newark. The city government in Newark started perking up and looking a little more interested in the community than they were in just their own feathering their pockets, which they did very well. And the same was true in Atwater. The same was true in Newport Beach, in Corona del Mar, and everywhere that I went, the same was true. It was just a beautiful and a wonderful place. Prairie du Chien in Wisconsin, and in Mercer, Wisconsin, and West Dallas, Wisconsin, and Columbus, Ohio, and Rochester, New York, and I could go on the different newspapers that I've had the privilege of being with. All of them reflected what? What I thought my work was as the editor of their paper. And you see, when I decided what my work was, when I decided who I was, it didn't take me long to be that. And then, what did I do? What did I do once I decided who I was? I sold myself to the community and to whoever it was. A salesman doesn't sell a product, he sells himself. And so I sold myself to the community as to what my philosophy was, what I believed was for the community, what I wanted for the community. I wanted the community to be a harmonious, joyful, wonderful place to be. And so this is what I chose to be with them. I went to all these people and became that part. And it was a fun thing to do. But everyone didn't always agree. Sometimes my publishers didn't agree. And they'd say, hey, why didn't you cover this bad story here or that bad story there? I said, I did. You did? Yeah, didn't you see it? And so they read the article, and they say, well, there's nothing bad here. And I said, that's right, there's nothing bad there. I only found that which was good. Well, that doesn't help sell newspapers. I said, no, it helps build a community. And we as a newspaper are as much part of this community as anything else. And if we will build this community will support us. And so most of my publishers went along with me and allowed me to do that. But you see, I had to find out who I was. And the moment I found out who I was that. I expressed that. I lived that. Are you doing that in your lives? Are you expressing whoever it is that you think you are? Because whoever you think you are is who you are. Now, I think I'm a fancy-dancy horseback rider, you know. Well, you are. Now, Sylvia got on a horse, and Sylvia knows that she's not a horseback rider. Sylvia knows that she doesn't know much about horses. Sylvia knows that a horse is something strange for her, and Sylvia knows that. But Sylvia also thinks, I can ride a horse. And so she got on the horse, and she rode it. And the horse did some strange things. And Sylvia just flowed with the horse while it did the strange things. Instead of being frightened, Sylvia said, I can ride a horse, you know. So the horse stood up on his hind legs. Don't they always do that? You know, she just leaned forward and did the proper thing at the proper time in the proper way, and everything went fine. But it's, Sylvia had no reason to believe she was a good horseman. She had not had experiences with horses. She had not had experiences talking to horses. She had not had even whispering to horses from a distance. She didn't have this experience, but she just felt comfortable in herself and said, I can ride a horse. And she did. Now, can you ride a horse? Can each of you ride a horse? All you have to do is say, I can ride a horse. And then you and the horse get together and go for a ride. But the horse has to know that you feel confident, that you feel comfortable. Now, when a horse has a little child on its back, then who's the boss? The horse. The horse is gentle, just like the child. The horse is loving, just like the child. And when the child starts putting up a fight and starts being angry and mean to the horse, and the horse gently slides the child off its back and walks away. And they say, why did the horse do that? Well, wouldn't you do that? If you were playing horsey with some child and they started kicking their feet into your ribs, what would you do? You just lay down. You didn't play the game anymore. Everything wants to play the game with us. Everything wants to be cooperative with us. Everything wants to work with us. It's just a matter that once I decide who I am, it takes only a second to be it. Now, who are you? Who am I? Where are we going? What's our purpose? Who are you? Well, decide. Are you a monk? Okay, you're a monk. What does it mean to be a monk in your mind? Then be it. Are you a minister? What does it mean to be a minister? Be it. Are you a priest? What does it mean to be a priest? What does it mean to be a practitioner? What does it mean to be a pastoral counselor? What does it mean to be the very, what does it mean to be a bachelor of philosophy, doctor of philosophy, master of philosophy? What does it mean to have that? Bachelor of metaphysics, doctor of metaphysics, theology, doctor of divinity. What does it mean to have those certifications? It means that you understand the program. You understand what it is that you're to do as that. Now, everyone did not arrive at the point that Kennard Davis did. When Kennard Davis got his doctorate, the first thing he wanted to do was pomp and ceremony. Well, he's very strange. People just don't do that. People just do not do that. That's why they have these big graduation ceremonies at these colleges where they wear their gowns and their caps and they come marching in to pomp and circumstance the beautiful orchestrational piece that lets them march in, and they come marching up to the front and they pick up their certificate and they bow to the audience as though they had earned this by some marvelous manner. And what they did, they merely had the tuition and the genius to take the course. Now, if you gave every child on the face of the earth the ability to take the course, you know what would happen? Nobody would take the courses, because they're not something prized. They're not something sought after. So then, how would you get the information taught that the courses teach? Well, like we do. Through our students all over the world, through the internet, through our books, through our magazines, through all the things that we do. That's how we do it. Once I decide who and what I am, it only takes a second to be it. Are you ready to be it? Are you ready to be it? Well then, go for it. Go for it. But be careful. Who you are today may not be who you want to be tomorrow. And be as free as the breeze to change today or tomorrow. Today you're a peanut and tomorrow you're an apricot, you know. So you can do it. You can do it. Today you're a master and tomorrow you're God. You can do it. You ready? Go for it. I love you.